Hey everyone, welcome to the Revivalist Family Podcast, where we discuss what God's doing on college campuses and the need for prayer, family, and revival. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Revivalist Family. So glad you can join us today. I am here with two special guests, and I'm excited to introduce you to Cindy Dodd and Ed Hackett. And these are ones I have so much love and respect for. They're both mothers and fathers here at the International House of Prayer, leaders here, missionaries here. And Cindy, you've been here on staff as a missionary for the past 16 years,
correct.
I believe.
Correct, yes.
And Ed, you've raised your family here. You've been here some 28 years.
28 years.
With kids and now grandkids here.
Yes.
And I've gotten to know these ones over the years, but a couple years back, I got to hear their story and how their journey intersected in ways that they didn't even understand. And we were at a stadium event together at Ball State University, which is where they went to school. And we were able to have them back to share their shared journey of how Cindy's prayers as an 18-year-old impacted Ed's life without him knowing it. And years later, reconnecting over just this reality of prayers prayed that were not fully realized and how it impacted Ed's life and family and legacy. And so we want to just bring you into their story, and we'd love for you to get to hear a little bit about Cindy's journey as a student and then Ed's journey coming to faith in Jesus.
I was 18 years old, going to Ball State University, my first year at college. I had come from a Methodist youth group from where I lived, and it was an on-fire group. It was during the Jesus movement. The youth group leader was very much on fire. He now has a big mega church in Florida. And so when I came to the college campus, I had such a love for the Lord, very immature Christian, very weak in prayer, but I truly loved the Lord with all of my heart. And I was looking for a church, someplace that I could go to where I could fellowship with others. And through the years, I went to different places, finally landed in Campus Crusade. My college roommate was also very much in love with the Lord. In fact, her youth group leader was my youth group leader. He just had moved to another city. And so it was amazing how we had never met before.
Wow.
And yet we had the same youth group leader in most of our high school years.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So anyway, we were really blessed to know each other.
And so you're getting to Ball State as an 18-year-old, and the Lord connects you with a roommate. Her name was
Luann.
Yes. And you guys are in a dorm room together, and you guys shared the same youth pastor.
Yes. Yes, in high school. We were amazed. And so she and I remember through the year, we did a lot of evangelism. We did a lot of praying. You know, I had the thought that you couldn't pray for yourself, but you could pray for the kingdom of God. So I prayed a lot for the kingdom of God. It was my prayers were very weak. But we did a lot of praying. We went to the student union and did a lot of evangelizing.
Wow.
I tended to be one that would just see someone, go up to him and start talking. But Luann was really good about carrying on the conversation. So I was kind of like cold going up to someone, and then she was more of the pastor's heart. So we made a really good evangelism team.
What a beautiful pairing the Lord had for you guys.
Yes, yes. And so we lived in an all-woman, young lady dorm room, and across the street there was two frat houses. And so I remember going to classes and such, going by them, and we prayed for those two frat houses.
Wow. And you were only there for a year.
Correct. I was only there for 1 year, my freshman year.
And you were reflecting on how this year felt very weak and in some respects, you know, fruitless.
Exactly. That is so true, because all year, Luann and I, we spoke to so many people and we prayed for so many people, yet we just didn't see any fruit. In fact, we got the opposite. You know, we got made fun of, and even the girls on our floor, it was a hard year. And even through the decades after that, I often thought, Lord, why was it so hard? It was really hard because the churches that I did visit, it seemed like there just wasn't the passion that I had in my youth group in high school. And it was really disheartening. So not only was I didn't see fruit with the people I was evangelizing to, but I just wasn't finding people to fellowship with. So Luann and I stuck together through the year. She was a gift from the Lord.
Praise
to
the
me.
Lord.
Yes. Wow. And we're still friends. We still call each other.
No way.
All of her kids have been in the International House of Prayer internships and different things like that.
I love it.
Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And Ed, you were also a student at Ball State in the 70s.
Yes.
But you were not a believer when you were there.
Definitely not a believer.
And tell us a little bit about what you were doing in college. It sounds like you probably weren't evangelizing and sharing your faith in college.
No, we weren't hanging out with the same people, that's for sure. It's interesting how our story, how this all came about. I was teaching a class in around 2006 or 7. And I had met Dan and Cindy, but did not know them, you know, personally, but knew them and really liked them, you know, from a distance. But we were teaching this class, and at the end of this class, we had a question and answer time. And one of the young men in the class raised his hand. He was probably around college age, 18, 20 years old. And he said, I want to just ask this question. He said, I've been reaching out to my neighbor. And I felt like I was so close to him coming to the Lord, but he moved. And I don't know where he is. I don't even know where he moved. I don't have any contact information. You know, what should I do? And so I just said, well, I think you should continue to pray. The Lord knows where he's at. Just continue to pray that he would get, you know, that the Lord would encounter him and that he would give his life to the Lord. I said, you know, we pray for people all the time, and we don't even know, you know, the impact that it's having on other people. And I was telling him this, and I was saying, you know, that we're going to find out someday. There's people that will come to us, you know, in this life, and maybe the life after, or they'll come up and say, you know, your prayers had an impact on my salvation.
Amen.
And so then we took a break. So in the class, we took a break. Well, there's Cindy was sitting there with this other. Her friend was, Luann was sitting next. I had never met them, but I walked up during the break, and Cindy goes, Ed, I'd like you to meet Luann. Dad, well, nice to meet you. And she goes, she was my college roommate. And of course, Cindy goes on to tell about what she shared today. And I said, really, where'd you go to college? And she goes, oh, I went to Ball State. I said, oh, I went to Ball State. What years were you there? So Cindy says that she was there 73 to 74. Her freshman year was my senior year. And then Cindy went on to say, we prayed, you know, we would get together and Luann and I would pray, and we just pray for that the campus would have revival.
Mom.
And we especially prayed for those two fraternity houses across from our dorm. And while she's speaking to me, I start feeling the presence of the Lord. I just go, really? And, tell me about it. And Luann, where was your dorm? And she names the dorm. And I know that dorm was right across from my fraternity house. And
wow.
While she's telling this, I'm just amazed, because our fraternity, unfortunately, was probably the wildest fraternity on the campus. Or at least we like to think we were, which was back in those days, we thought that was really cool. But anyway, I was one of the leaders of that, you know, and so while she's speaking to me, the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he says, I just gave you a living example of what you just shared with that young man. Luann and Cindy played a role in your salvation. They prayed,
wow.
They helped pray you into the kingdom.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, I like to say that I, you know, I received the Lord right away. It was years later, but I was just aware that, you know, that they, the Lord, I mean, clearly spoke to me that Cindy played a role in my salvation, in Luana, and I've loved her ever since, you know.
Wow, that's so
and
beautiful.
Thank you ever since.
I mean, what a picture for you guys to be there a year, and in this year, just you coming into college with faith for the gospel, loving the people there, and just setting your heart to pray for these two fraternity houses and the young men that were there to know Jesus. And in the natural, you didn't really get to see the fruit of your labor, and you probably even left a measure discouraged.
Very much so. I remember when Ed said, the Lord told me that you and Luann were a part of my salvation. I remember thinking, could that be true? And just the pain, really, through the years of thinking, why was it so hard? It was so hard on so many points, and all of them pointed to people not receiving the Lord, that I thought, could this be true? And I was so encouraged. And then I thought, well, how many other people have I prayed for? How many other people have I spoken the word to that are born again now that it didn't look like they received it, but they did.
Wow. What a significant thing where the Lord would show you 30 years later, after you prayed the prayers, and Ed got saved way before that, but he didn't actually let you see the fruit of your prayers for 30 years.
Yes. You know, my son, it's funny because right after that happened, my youngest son said, Mom, I met this person and they were talking about, they asked me if I knew Jesus, and they said they knew Jesus, and so my son said, well, tell me about it. And he said, well, some lady was talking to me about the Lord at a coffee shop, and I had been living in the woods in a tent and came out and, you know, went to this coffee shop, and she was talking, and my son said, wow. And he said, yeah, her name was Cindy Dodd. And I thought, what? And
that's
and
cool. I love
that. Philip goes, that's my mom. And so they, you know, talked about details, what I look like. Mm-hmm. And Philip told me that. And I, again, it was right after what happened to Ed. And it was like the Lord was just showing me Cindy, just because people don't react at the time, it doesn't mean that I'm not working with them.
Wow.
It was so encouraging.
Wow. This is so significant, I think, for young people, because I think so oftentimes we pray and we have faith that as we ask the Lord, we'll see the Lord answer our prayers quickly for the salvation of our friends, for revival on our campus, for breakthrough that we're believing for. And most of us aren't really prepared. I'm 40, and I'm thinking about the 20-year-old and how we oftentimes overestimate what God can do in a year and in a short period of time. And we usually don't have a long-term vision that maybe sometimes it's going to be 10 years before we see the answer of our prayers.
That's true.
You know, that we think that if we fast, if we pray, if we're fervent, if we preach Jesus diligently, surely we're going to see a move of God.
Mm-hmm.
And yet sometimes it's doing the right thing and doing the godly thing of loving people, praying diligently for 10 years and maybe not even seeing the fullness of the fruit of it, but trusting that our diligent labor actually matters and the Lord sees it and he's the one who brings forth the fruit.
Yes, yeah. I'm 64 and the Lord told me when I was 52 that I had fruit at Ball State. He waited that long. So,
wow.
You know, sometimes the Lord just, he can decide when and where that we see that, where we have bore fruit with our speaking about the Lord.
That's both encouraging and discouraging.
Yeah,
that means I have 12
true.
More years of waiting before I can see some of my fruit.
No, but this is what I think. I think, and I know you're saying that with tongue in cheek, but I believe that when I pray, because of this experience, I realize some of the prayers may not be answered till later, but I still have expectation
yes.
that the prayers
Amen.
Will be answered like today.
Yes.
because he's that kind of God. He will, some of those things he will answer. He wants to give immediate answer. And those that will encourage us, you know, when a friend or a neighbor or someone we're reaching out to comes to know Jesus. But also to have that persevering faith that knows that it may be, 10 years, 12 years. It may even be after we're with the Lord that we look and he shows us. He goes, you know, that little prayer that you shared or that time you shared the gospel and you didn't think they were impacted by it. You know, it took hold. It was a seed. And so I feel like it's both, you know.
Yes.
You know, let's pray and wait and be faithful to wait, but at the same time have expectation that he wants to do something now. And the other thing on that, I feel like we are we're all the product of somebody else's prayers. Yes. I mean, this is one example today. But if you think about it, we're standing on the shoulders and the prayers of the generation that's gone before us, and they on the generation that preceded them. And I always like to think about this: how you track, you try to track. They call it network marketing. They call it having a downline or whatever, or you have an upline. And I think about the upline going back. Okay, that person was impacted by this person, that person by that. But that trail goes all the way back to that man in the garden, you know, kneeling and crying out. And so I just say, let's just join in with the generations of accumulated prayers.
Amen.
For a great revival until the Lord returns.
Yes.
And I just felt like to encourage I'm encouraging myself right now to continue, but I also want to encourage those on campuses that are, you know, they don't think that they're having impact, and maybe they are not seeing the great change yet, that to expect it, and I believe it is coming, but also to endure and watch what the Lord does. So
good. Yeah, what a powerful life lesson that we never know the significance of our prayers, even though we don't necessarily see the immediate impact.
Yes.
To believe the Lord that he would break in now and yet trust him when we don't see the fullness of it.
Right.
As you now can look back on your journey with so much more clarity and see the impact of your prayers and the impact of someone else's prayers on your life and your children's life. I mean, I think about your family, Ed, and I mean, you really have amazing kids, and
thank God for their mother,
Laura Hackett Park, Ellen Engel, Dory. I mean, godly kids with amazing families, beautiful children, grandchildren. You have
yes.
I mean,
12 grandchildren now. Amazing. Come on.
And it all started with believers in your life that prayed for you on a college campus, and others after that who were diligent to love you, continue to pray, share Jesus with you.
Thank God.
And just, you know, that impact is unquantifiable.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
So as we begin wrapping up our podcast today, here's a question I want to end with, is as you reflect, Cindy, on what the Lord has done and the small ways that he's shown you the impact of your faithfulness in prayer and evangelism, what would you say to 18-year-old Cindy with the current perspective? How would you encourage yourself then, being a believer on a campus that mostly is unfriendly to the gospel, looks at your life and your fervency and really doesn't have a whole lot of respect for it, and feeling just the discouragement from not seeing fruit and just really not being received on your campus?
I would tell Cindy, 18-year-old Cindy, to trust in the Lord, because he is a good leader and he will lead. He's faithful. And I just think of all of these years, how the Lord has led me. Even when I couldn't see the fruit, he was leading me, and to trust in him because he is faithful.
Amen.
And true. We can't lean on our own accomplishments or even lean on seeing the fruit, because sometimes we won't. You know, sometimes we will, but sometimes we won't. But the Lord, I look back at all of these decades, because I'm 64 now, and I was 18 at Ball State. I look back at all these decades, and all I can see is the faithfulness of the Amen. Lord Jesus leading me. And I'm just so grateful. And I would just tell Cindy, stay steady, trusting in the Lord. What whether you word. See it or not, trust in Him.
Stay steady, trust in the Lord. Walk by faith and not by sight.
Exactly.
Amen.
Can I speak to that Please. Young Cindy out there and that young whoever, young man out there? Please don't stop praying. Keep praying, because especially if even for the ones you think would be the least likely to come to Jesus, cry out for their salvation. Ask the Lord to encounter them. Ask for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to rest heavily upon your campus. There's a lot of Ed Hacketts out there. People like me that were, you know, as my Texas friend used to say, I was lost as a ball in tall weeds. You know, that just go after and just continue to pray, because there's many that will come to the knowledge of the saving knowledge of Christ because of your prayers. Keep praying. Don't quit. Please, don't quit.
Wow. Thank you so much. Even Ed Hackett. What's really fun is if you actually get to meet Ed, he's probably one of the saints, probably one of the most, it's hard for me to imagine you leading a ruckus fraternity, but I'm so grateful.
Mercy. Thank God for mercy.
I agree. I mean, Ed is one of the most meek and humble and kind godly. And gentle, godly person I know. And my husband would say the same thing. And it is such a privilege to think even my weak little prayers when I was 18, even had a drop in the bucket contribution to salvation is such a, it's an honor. It's so humbling.
The famous quote from John Newton, you know, in the movie Amazing Grace, you know, they come up to him at the end of his, you know, he's at the end of his life, and he said, you know, they're trying to encourage him and everything, and he just goes, no, he said, really, I know nothing, but there's two things I know for sure. These are, I'm certain of, that I am a great sinner, and Jesus Christ is a great Savior.
Amen. Amen. Well, we are so, so honored to get to hear your story. Thank you for sharing your heart and your journey. You guys are a gift to the next generation. And thank you for who you are. Thank you for your faithful prayers, because you guys are faithful intercessors, even now in your 60s. See you every day in, day out in the house of the Lord. You pray for the young people. You pray for the college campuses. So thank you for who you are. Thank you for your prayers, 18 at Ball State, and your prayer still for young people, our nation, the campuses. We love you, and we're so grateful to get to hear your story. And thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you for your encouragement.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you, Ty. We love you.
So honored. Well, bless you guys. Thank you for being with us for another episode of Revivalist Family. If there's something that moved you in this testimony, in this episode, or if you have some feedback for us, feel free to leave a review. Let us know things that the Lord really spoke to you. We so appreciate you guys. Join us again for another episode of Revivalist Family. Bless you all.